Welcome back, folks. We are here for the powerful reopening of Living with Hurricanes Katrina and Beyond at the Louisiana State Museum's Presbyter Galleries. Dave Cohen, WWL News Director, and myself really have enjoyed hearing all of these stories that folks have been telling in details that we had never heard before. It's been incredible.
I feel like a lot of people for the last 20 years haven't wanted to talk about it. There are certain things that they just rather not revisit, not remember. But this celebration of the spirit of our city, our state, our region, I think has allowed people to look at everything in a new light and realize the value of remembering what we had to go through to get here.
So we're joined by the Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana, Billy Nungesser, who he and his team have reopened this exhibit. They've improved it. They've made a lot of changes. I mean, it's really beautiful. Today, if you've got nothing to do this afternoon, get on over here. It's free. And he just hosted a symposium at Le Petit Theater across the street. And he was telling us off air that they had compelling stories, emotional stories, and sharing of experiences. Billy, thank you so much for hosting us today. We really appreciate it. This has been a great opportunity. And I guess it's appropriate that it's drizzling rain today.
The sky is crying.
Yeah, thank you, Noel. Thank you all for being here. What you were just saying, a lady grabbed me as I walked in and said, thank you for doing this. My husband died in Katrina, and I haven't been able to even look at anything until now, and it's just great to come here and see not only all the horror, but, you know, and that's what we want to do with this exhibit. You know, for too long, I'd come here to visit my museum team, and that people would be saying, why are you doing this? Look how horrible. They were crying. They were depressed because it was all the horrible things. And we thought it was time to make it about not only remembering those things, because we still have those, but as you leave the exhibit, you see the before and after pictures. Yeah. You hear the stories about people fighting through, wanting to give up, and getting better every year since Katrina. And I think it's inspiring. I know as a Louisiana, it makes me proud. And as we see tourists come through here, I hope they leave and say, wow, if we go through a disaster when we may think of giving up, if they've been through this and have rebuilt, we'll get through it too.
It really is a shining demonstration here of us being able to celebrate how far we've come. And I think it's important that we see how low we got so we can appreciate what's happened since, especially now 20 years later. There are fewer and fewer of us who were here for the storm.
Absolutely.
20 years is a long time.
Absolutely.
And so it's important for people to be able to see how bad it was, not just from the stories from the old folks, but from seeing it firsthand. But also, I love that you have the images right next to the destruction pictures and the devastation pictures showing, look what it looks like now.
Absolutely. We want to make sure we captured images from every parish, from Slidell to St. Tammany to St. Bernard to Lower Plaquemines to Burris, because we don't want anyone feeling felt left out in the recovery. You know, after I know I rode out Katrina 14 miles from the eye to protect those horses from my therapeutic riding facility, and I was angry when I went to Bell Chase to borrow some pumps to pump out our area. I was told if I touched them, I'd be arrested by the parish president. All they cared about was Bell Chase. Well, the whole south was underwater. I had people living with me. I didn't know. We had my bulldozer cleaning sections of the highway. Mike Strain's uncle and dad lived with me for 6 months rescuing animals. And you felt forgotten. You felt like nobody cared. And although there wasn't a lot of people down there, they still mattered. And so I wanted to make sure we captured that Burris water tower sitting on the ground and show that it's back up and painted in the colors of the school down there. And all those things that give pride back in those communities.
What is, tell us a little bit about the symposium.
It was pretty powerful. You know, Walter Isaacson and Aaron Broussard. Walt Leger and Timmy Kerner, all different perspectives. Timmy Kerner feeling left out down in Lafitte. Aaron Broussard going through all of his challenges.
In Jefferson Parish.
Yeah, and to have the guys that were on the recovery team, Walt Leger and Iverson, to tell how it wasn't perfect, but they worked through the difficulties. And although it took a long time, the recovery team was able to get money out. And towards the end, they got it right. No fault of theirs, but the federal government dealing with it. And hopefully it's better now than it was then. And it is. But to hear those stories, the frustration, Walt Leger brought him to tears reading the line to Kathleen Blanco. And I was there. I got elected a year after Katrina, but I was there through all that with Governor Blanco. And let me tell you, she got a lot of heat, but she loved this state. She had a heart of gold, and she really cared about each and every. We wouldn't have got federal levies in Plaquemines Parish had it not been for her. I said, oh, no, they're important, too. They are going to be fully funded in the next round of federal money. And she stood tall to that. People of Plaquemines Parish need to thank Governor Blanco for those federal levies.
You know, there was a lot that was stimulated, started as a result of that federal funding that came down. You oftentimes are talking about the challenges of today and the fact that there's still needs that have not been met. And do you feel that sometimes we may, when I say we, I mean the nation, the country, the state, we've kind of lost sight?
Yeah, we've talked about this before. Every year you go without a storm, every year you get further away from it, there's less media attention, there's less attention. And even in preparing for the next one, every year we don't have one, I think we get a little less, we get a little lazy.
Amnesia.
Absolutely.
Complacent.
Yeah. So, we had a lot of discussion today about the president's plan to get rid of FEMA. And what came out of the discussion today was, if we had a regional person that during normal times got to know the elected officials, the assets, the public infrastructure, the private homes. With technology today, you can have all that mapped out ahead of time. And then when a disaster hits, it's a discussion between the governor, the mayor, the parish president with the FEMA rep. Is it 60% damage or 40%? We know what that number is. Let's cut a check. Let's make sure we keep the documents right. But let's go fix everything instead of hiring 100 people to come down and go door to door. And when you don't get no response, you find out they threw the paperwork in a garbage can. So in their efforts to reorganize FEMA, that local approach of having someone familiar with and documented up front in a database of what the asset value is could really make things move quickly. And we talked a lot about that today.
One of the impediments, and I agree with you 1,000%, because I've always said that one of the impediments truly is you've worked with the multitude of task forces that are established across the state of Louisiana. You've traveled the state extensively. You've met all of these folks. You understand the breadth and depth of their capability in responding. The big thing in the way, though, is that those local governments that want to participate, like when we have a storm in the south and they're in the north, they can't send those people down because they can't cover the overtime to the folks that stand in the place of those that they're going to assign to the task force, and they can't wait 6 years to get a check from FEMA.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they will go bankrupt.
Absolutely. One of the things that I've made, and actually spoke about it when we went up at the Sandy Act with trying to change some things with FEMA when Sandy hit the East Coast, is we spent $210,000. Takes about 6 months to put a FEMA trail in your driveway. If we gave everybody a $50,000 voucher to go buy an RV, they can buy an $80,000 if they want to put up extra money, but they'd have it in their driveway that night. We could have a truck go around and give them propane so they can get a temporary pole, but they would be there the next day gutting their home and getting back in. Instead of being away for 6 months before they get a FEMA trail, it's molded, it's mildewed. It's just simple things like that that would save every home $150,000 right there. And then after they finish, they'll have an RV to travel the country. But it would save tons of money, time, and half those homes would have been saved from having to get mold because they would have gutted them right away.
Well, think about it. You're a businessman. Every time there's a storm, FEMA actually has to stand up, 20, 30 businesses? That's not easy.
No.
It's not easy when you
agency.
Know what you're doing, much less when you have no experience in doing it, right?
So I'm hoping our congressional delegation in Washington, knowing what we've been through, as the president looks at what he's going to do with FEMA that instead of getting rid of it, we have a reorganization that makes it work quicker, faster, better, and would save the taxpayers a lot of money.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot during the show about how so many things had to happen in the right order, at the right time, the dominoes all in the right places for us to be where we are now 20 years later. You ride out the storm, protecting your horses, and risk your life. Your home had how many feet of water?
Well, not in it. I was 6 foot above the Mississippi River level. It's the only thing south of Jasper Bend sticking out the water. So it was on a mound of mud. We watched the waves come over the levee, go around my house. My brick separated, and when you walk down my hall, it was like being sprayed with a hose through the water sock. The hurricane shutters bent in and blew my doors open. We didn't know if we were going to make it. And so it was a tough night. And the next day when I walked out and saw the water and saw animals swimming for my land, my knees buckled. And something told me, my friend Jimmy Huff that stayed with me, we headed south in the airboat and rescued a picture of it here, the family. And we rescued about 35 people. And then Mike Strange, daddy and uncle, lived with me for 6 months rescuing animals.
You go through all that. And you decide not only do you want to stay, not only do you want to still live there, not only that, but you want to run for office and you want to be a part when things are at their worst and lowest of now being a public official.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Kind of crazy.
Well, you know, people wanted to give up. And it was the volunteers coming in that gave us hope. They came, put their life on hold to come help. And people were like, I had my bulldozer cleaning the highway. And they're like, you got to run for office. You got to run for office. And, you know, I felt they needed somebody that truly cared about them and where they lived. And I was told by the sheriff, a good friend of mine, Bill, you're a nice guy, but you can't win. You're a Republican, and you wasn't born here. And we're not elected either down here. But I knocked on every door twice. And won by 100-something votes and then got reelected. Yeah, it was, don't get mad and run for office.
Because,
and then you decide after 8 years doing that, that you want to try to bring people back to this state to visit it. And, wow, what a trajectory we've seen then and how valuable it's been as part of the long-term recovery from Katrina.
You know, I got mad doing the BP oil spill. They were killing birds. Nobody was saying anything. But I also felt like we had a lot of good lieutenant governors, but they ran for lieutenant governor to be governor. I ran for lieutenant governor to be lieutenant governor. And you know, it. When you have that plan to do all you can in what your job is, besides helping other people, taking over, keep Louisiana beautiful, because I take on things if I see something needs to be done. But if you have the long-term plan of really fixing everything under your office and you're not just looking for that next step, it's easy to get things. And all the people in the tourism community rally behind you. And the love and passion. I just came from the tourism summit in Lake Charles. And those 400 people there, they bleed Louisiana in every part of the state. And I'm just blessed to work with them.
Absolutely. Future. You know, we're continuing to spend Katrina money. As crazy as that may sound,
$600 million still hasn't been spent.
Yeah, 20 years later, what are your feelings?
Well, it's embarrassing. You know, every mayor I've met with since I've been here, I said, look, you got to get a consultant. And FEMA pays the consultant. You got to put the projects out there. You know, I had three hurricanes that flooded my parish, so my project worksheet overlapped. I got an award for being the parish to first recover, get reimbursed by FEMA, get audited twice, 100%, never had to give a penny back. And it was because we got some good consultants that oversaw every project. And I had one overseeing the consultants to make sure they followed the right timeline. And we offered that to this mayor to help her. And there were several consultants you could
use.
But
it wasn't only this mayor.
No, it was before, yeah.
It's been 20 years worth of mayors.
It's just what I said. We got to start electing people that really care and want to make a difference, not just worried about re-election. And unfortunately...
Or another election.
Another election, absolutely. And I pray this next mayor of New Orleans has the love and passion and does the right thing, because if not, I don't know, not just the FEMA, it's the crime, it's the cleanliness, it's everything that we've been fighting to get this city and lift it up. And we're on a very turning point.
We are. We're kind of balancing on the razor's edge now, because as we look at where we've been since Katrina, we were on a great trajectory. Population was rebuilding every year. Businesses were coming back steadily. Tourism has been doing nothing but growing. But the last several years, we've seen it plateau and now start to dip. We're headed in the wrong direction right now. How do we reverse that and make sure that when we celebrate 25 years of recovery, we are celebrating?
Well, three things have been trending the wrong way in New Orleans: crime, cleanliness, and new attractions. And you look at other cities, they're all invested heavily in all three. And they got people in charge that care. We talked about the gas lamp district and managing the quarter separately. I've asked the mayor candidates, please consider that. Because if we got residents and businesses on a team managing this quarter, it will be clean, safe, because that's their livelihood. They will make sure.
Yeah.
And go concentrate on the rest of the city. And I think if we do that, and downtown development district is in control, we add a seat for the governor, the lieutenant governor, we can get some state money if we got some input to know it's going to be spent right. The state ain't giving money to the city. They've misspent so much money. It's incredible. And when you look at the wasteful spending and you say, wow, what could we have done if we'd have spent that properly for the city?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's that setting of priorities for sure, and being able to fund and finance it and thinking out of the box. You have to give up a little, right? There's got to be compromises. But everyone should be focused on the same thing, and we should all be in alignment. And rare is it that we are.
Yeah. And, you know, the people of New Orleans, I think, are at a point, too. And I hope they look at these candidates very closely and select the one that will lead us out of this. And it's going to be critical that right person takes the helm.
Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, thank you for joining us. Thank you for hosting us.
Thank you.
And thank you for
congratulations.
This
great job. I mean, it's beautiful.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank
you. See it, folks. I'm Dave Cohen along with Newell Norman. We're going to come back and continue the conversation about the progress we've made and celebrate our victories 20 years after Katrina. Walt Leger joins us. He was part of that equation. Next on WWL.